And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I do this every week. You know that. You know what we're here to talk about. It's the Rowdies. I'm here every week with Carlos Rueda, and he is here again with me to talk about the Rowdies. Duh, that's what we do. Carlos, how are you doing this Tuesday evening?
I'm doing good. I'm not doing as well as I was last week when we had that insane comeback win against Charleston, which I wasn't here to talk about because I went to the Rays game, where, by the way, the villains of Ted Lasso were there. West Ham was at the Rays game last week, so that was pretty fun. Yeah, I mean, we have a game to talk about. There's a lot to talk about in that game, James. There actually is a lot to talk about. So that's fun. I'm doing well. I am an adult now with like a job and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a time. It's Tuesday. It's 6:32 p.m. And it is a sunny day after the chaos that was.
Sure is.
What was Debbie? Well, I don't know why I was gonna say Edna. Where did Edna come from? Hurricane Debbie. Yeah, so we're here. We are not flooded, thankfully, and we have a Rowdies game to talk about. And by the way, a fun conversation with a certain Rowdies player who was away for a good chunk of last month, in Mexico for a fun U20 CONCACAF tournament. I guess I'm not really leaving much in terms of like hiding it now that I said all of that. Yeah, it's Christian Ortiz. We're chatting with him later on. So stay tuned for that. He is a great, great kid, with so much talent and so much potential. We had a good conversation with him. We'll talk later on. James, how's it going on your end? Anything new, anything fun going on in the world of James Knowles?
Well, the fun part for me is that this house that I live in has avoided flooding, which is not true of all the areas in this county. So I'm happy with that part. That is fun for me. Everyone who is out there, I hope that you are in the same boat, although I think there might be one or two people at least who unfortunately are not. And I hope that things are at least better for you now. But in the meantime, Carlos, we are not here just to talk about the weather. There are probably other podcasts about that, and this is not one of them. We are here to talk about the Rowdies. Say again.
Are there weather podcasts?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Well, we are here to talk about the Rowdies, like you were saying, James. Take it away. I'm sorry.
Well, we are here to talk about them, but I'll put it this way. They rained on our parade.
Whoa. Because
the game wasn't what we wanted. How about that?
There's nice a transition. Little segue. Yeah, there's a transition. Look at that.
Yes, the Rowdies, controversially, I will say, drew 2-2 away to Monterey Bay this past weekend. So, yeah, that's not exactly what we wanted, but it is at least a point. We will take a point. We all predicted wins, though, so none of us get a point in our own prediction standings. That is unfortunate. Eureka and Carlos stay top with 10, only 10, and I am back on 6 or 7, so we're not doing the best. But we'll have another chance to predict this year. This weekend, in fact, when we preview an away game versus Phoenix Rising. So stay tuned for that as well. We have a lot coming up, not only the preview, as Carlos has already told us, we have an interview with Christian Ortiz about his national team experience with the Dominican Republic U20s. It was very cool. And I like talking to Christian Ortiz. I've done that a couple of times just in the post games. And now that we'll be able to talk to him about his international experience, it's going to be even better for me, who loves the international game. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube, subscribe on any major podcast platform, and of course follow us on all social media at RBLR Sports. Now, Carlos, let's get into this Monterey Bay game. That actually, to get back to the weather, it was very weird because it looked like it was fog, but also maybe raining at times. It was honestly hard to tell even just from the broadcast. But
yeah. Support your local weather podcasts. Maybe they would have, I'm sure there's like a Monterey Bay like weather podcast, right? There's got to be like a California weather podcast talking about whatever the hell is going on. I thought it was raining the whole time. It didn't, I didn't realize until like the 60th minute. It's just fog.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a thing. Another thing, by the way, Jordan Farr had a child. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Shout out to his new baby daughter and shout out to that family. That's so much fun. Because of that, Breno got the start and goal, his first start and goal all year. Good for him. In front of him, we had no surprises, really. Jordan Doherty with Kleeman and Guillen. Out on the wingback spots, you had Pacific Nyangabire and Eddie Monjoma. with another masterclass of a Chrysostomo performance, flanked by Lewis Hilton in that midfield. And up top, you had Cal, as per usual, with Manu and Joshua Perez playing that attacking role as he has been all year. The Rowdies did give up a goal in that first half, James. It was a pretty early, pretty silly goal, and it unfortunately came in typical Rowdies fashion. It came right after we hit the post a minute earlier.
Yeah.
On an incredibly good-looking opportunity from Jordan Doherty. Yeah, of course, we don't score our goals, and you know, that's the story of soccer. You don't score, and other teams don't score on you.
Yep.
We had plenty of opportunities in this game. A few really good looks in that first half, and I'm gonna have nightmares about that Jordan Doherty crossbar. Nobody picked him up on that Monterey Bay team. He just kept walking in, and all of a sudden he had the clear lane. Fantastic shot. Unlucky to not score that one. And yeah, Dixon scored literally a minute later in the 29th minute. We went into halftime 0-0. We did make an early sub. Kleeman came off very, very early in this game. I want to say, let me fact check, it was the 35th minute Kleeman came off after what was not a great performance from him, to say the least. He was struggling to kind of get into a rhythm, it seemed. And I think Robbie Nielsen just wasn't liking what he was seeing, wanted a bit more attacking threat. It looked like, James, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sometimes bad at this, I thought Manjoma would kind of drop back into that back three. And that didn't really seem to be the case. I didn't really fully know what was going on, but we were still defending. Something happened. But long story short, Bodley came in for Kleeman, and we were playing a game, and Bodley was in there and whatever. Second half, James, we opened the scoring pretty late. We saved it for the 71st minute. A Cal Jennings goal. Stop me if you've heard that before. Cal Jennings getting another goal this year. And it wasn't much later in the 84th minute. In a moment where we weren't playing our best soccer either, where we draw a really silly penalty. Monterey Bay commits one of the dumbest fouls I've ever seen in the USL.
Unnecessary.
So unnecessary. Off of a missed opportunity from the Rowdies on a counterattack, Arteaga scores a penalty from that infraction. Penalty. Okay, we scored 2-1. And as you probably know, if you saw the game and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you keep up with the Rowdies enough to know we tied this game 2-2, and it was a 92nd minute equalizer that came in highly, highly controversial fashion.
Yeah.
The commentators did not really know what was going on, which was kind of frustrating. Nobody really seemed to know what was going on until later when we kind of broke it down slightly, tweeted it out on the RBLR Sports Twitter account. Just kind of some context about what happened there. It seemed like both, like everything was pointing that it was a Rowdy's ball. Monterey Bay picks it up, throws it in, despite everything pointing to it being a Rowdy's ball. They scored the equalizer. Whole team fell asleep on this Rowdy squad there. I don't fully blame them. We wanted to waste time, and it looked like it was our ball. So surely the whole team kind of falls asleep a little bit, takes its time to waste more time. But because of that, because of being just asleep for half a second when Monterey Bay takes that fake throw, Monterey Bay gets that goal. So some criticism to be thrown around the referee, maybe the team for falling asleep there and just not being as proactive as it maybe could have been. And it was a silly goal on top of all of that. It really wasn't a great goal at the end of the day either. So 2-2, it felt like a game that was highly winnable. We've talked a lot about this game being a winnable one. All three of us predicted wins, like you said. But it didn't happen. And that's where we are. 2-2, end of the game, tie in Monterey Bay. Standings update. The teams ahead of us did well. So that's not great news either. The Battery beat Indy 11-5-0. And Louisville City, like, I never ask anything of New Mexico as a state, you know, as a team, New Mexico United. I've never asked anything from the entire state of New Mexico. But Louisville went over there and beat New Mexico 1-0, the one time I needed this team to really do something. I truly impressive from Louisville. They look like they're in really great form.
Yeah.
Going out to the number one team in the West, getting that 1-0 win in, you know, a very solid fashion. Not great for us. Also, Pittsburgh beat Sacramento, so that's kind of crazy because Sacramento is obviously a fantastic team out West. Pittsburgh trending up after a really, really slow start to the year. Maybe they're on their way back, but it's kind of late in the season for that. Eastern Conference standings update. Louisville City has 47 points from 21 games. They're 1 point ahead of Charleston with two games in hand. We are 39 points in third place, and Indy has 32, just like Birmingham. We have a bit of a lead on the teams behind us, but man, that gap with Louisville City is slowly becoming a little bit more unmanageable as the season progresses. They're 8 points ahead of us. We have no games in hand on them or anything. We can make up some ground on Charleston. We still have two games in hand on them, but just keep an eye on this. First place might be much more difficult than we originally thought. West Coast, New Mexico have 38 points from 20 games. Of course, they could have had 41 if they beat Louisville and finally did us a favor, because I've never asked from anything from that state ever, like I said, but they lost. They're still 3 points ahead of Sacramento Republic, whose season we ended when we went over there and beat them. and Oakland are still 3 points behind that with 32 points from 22 games. Memphis, by the way, if you forgot about them, they're still on the West Coast. They still have 32 points as well. That's a random team to be in the West Coast. They're always jumping around. Yeah. It's like, remember Tulsa used to jump around a bit, but whatever. Okay, James, that's a long-winded brief standings update. Let's talk about this game. We have to. What happened in the first half? Why did Freddie Kleeman go off? Like, let's just break it down a little bit, because it seemed like we had a few good looks, a Jordan Doherty chance, a couple other chances as well that I'm blanking on. Ultimately, it was Monterey Bay that opened the scoring. A team, by the way, that has only scored 21 goals this season. How'd that happen?
Yeah, how did that happen? So, it looked like Monterey Bay were prepared to try and this is how you defend anybody, obviously. You would like to funnel a team into certain areas. You would like to give them certain opportunities to put the ball into certain places as opposed to other places, because that's what soccer is. It's just opening certain spaces and closing other ones. They were trying to funnel us into areas where they had more players and cover the areas where the Rowdies would generally prefer to play. So obviously those are going to be down the wing, first with Pacific Nyongabiri and Eddie Munjoma, and then later on in this first half, and then for the rest of the second half, it was going to be Pacific Nyongabiri and Blake Bodley. We were able to still get them involved a good bit, so that's positive, but they did want us to try to go in other places, and they funneled us into a direction where they could do a lot of the pressing without the ball. That's another big thing in all soccer right now, is when you do not have the ball, obviously you want to try to make the other team cough it up so that you can win it in more advantageous positions, hopefully when the opposition has a lot of players closer to your goal than their goal, and then you have a lot fewer players to beat. Ultimately, Monterey Bay, I think, did an okay job at that. They still weren't that great overall, and that's probably what you and I should have expected based off of everything that we saw, Carlos, when we were going into this game. Everyone who looks at how Monterey does, you don't even necessarily have to get a ton of information on them. All the stats that you just said, they're not that good of a team right now. And that's not disrespect. It's just kind of the case. You can look at how they're doing in the standings. You can look at how they're doing overall. They have just recently gotten rid of their manager, and they have an interim head coach. These are all bad signs, obviously. So it's a good result from a relatively bad team. And I do want to stress that I don't think that the Rowdies played this game up to their own standards either, while we were kind of allowing Monterey Bay to show us into different places. Usually we can play to our own strengths regardless of how another team plays. Think of us beating Louisville. Think of us beating Charleston. Those teams obviously wanted us to do different things, and we were able to get past that. So the idea that we couldn't do that versus Monterey Bay is probably us taking our foot off the pedal a little bit, which is unfortunate, because Carlos, you and I have also talked about that in multiple games in the past year. So I do want to get to Freddie Kleeman in a little bit, because I had a question about that. That's actually why I put this on here. But beforehand, I just want to quote Robbie Nielsen from the post game, and this is a direct quote from him. "I thought we didn't play a great game tonight, but we fought really hard to get ourselves back in the lead. Ultimately, we were undone by weak refereeing. We'll get to that in a second. Returning to the quote, this was the biggest thing at the end, which was really disappointing. Sometimes you get referees And to have it taken away by a decision at the end is baffling. To get back to, here we go. I thought in the second half that we were crisper. We did ride our luck a wee bit, but we created a number of chances. Did we deserve to be in the lead? Probably not. But once you have it, you have to keep it. So that's kind of the quote that I wanted to pull out, especially there, was that bit about the second half being better and maybe us not even deserving to have the lead. Why is that? I think that the Rowdies were just not playing up to themselves again in this one in particular. And that's always disappointing because that's where ultimately we did let Monterey Bay into this game. So to get to the goal, and then we'll get to Freddie Kleeman. As you mentioned, Carlos, Jordan Doherty had a chance, and I watched the highlights again, before we recorded, just to jog my memory of everything that I saw in the game around those highlights. And yeah, that Jordan Doherty chance, ugh, man, I really wish that he had had that. If he had scored that, though, I think an MLS team would have come knock down our door to sign him. So
they probably are already.
Yeah, he's one of our best prospects at this point, considering his age. So I'll try and keep that from any MLS people who might be listening here. But at the same time, when he does take that chance, Carlos, if I'm not mistaken, he is not in position to help out because he was up having just had that shot. Am I correct? Am I incorrect with that? Mm. Or was because Freddie Kleeman was the one who ultimately had to go chasing Tristan Traeger down to our touchline on the right side, which is where Jordan Doherty would normally be. So if I'm not mistaken, it was from Jordan Doherty's chance that space was open, and then it was Freddie Kleeman who had to chase him down. Am I correct with that?
Well, there's a pretty significant amount of time between that Jordan Doherty shot and the ensuing Monterey Bay opportunity. Why did I say ensuing? Am I like on an interview? Like, what the hell? Yeah, big words. And the opportunity that Monterey Bay had right after that. But we had the ball. I think we were pressing really high in general. Like, we were trying to hold on to that ball and in their half and see what we could do with it. And in that moment, Monterey Bay picks up the ball out of nowhere, throws a long ball at Traeger. Yeah. Kleeman goes in, you know, into a slip and slide mode or something. I don't really know how to describe it. Flies by Traeger. Traeger has one of the easiest assists he'll ever put together.
Yeah, probably.
Two wide open Monterey Bay players in the box. Rowdies are still coming back. And because Kleeman was way by Traeger, Brandon had to come out of the goal and start kind of putting pressure on him, on Traeger. I can't make out the two Rowdies defenders that were back there, but they had to be like basically on the goal line because there's no goalie in there, leaving two Monterey Bay players essentially entirely free right in the box. Easy goal, Monterey Bay 1-0. So maybe that chance Jordan Doherty had has a little bit to do with it because we kind of pushed the ball into the area, into their half, and you know, we're pressing high for a goal. We're riding the maybe immediate aftermath that comes with hitting the post, like the momentum that comes with that, feeling ourselves a little bit. And in that, it seemed like that's when we became the most vulnerable, which was highly unfortunate. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, maybe a little bit, but probably not entirely just because of the Jordan Doherty shot. It just seemed like we were up in their half, kind of pressing, looking for an opportunity. I think, we were riding the momentum of that shot. And we certainly got caught asleep in a matter of 20 seconds.
Yes, we did. And it's unfortunate not only because we did not score a goal, that Jordan Doherty's chance did not go in. That was obviously a very kind of out of nowhere chance, because how often are we going to see Jordan Doherty being able to dribble two or three players, however many it was, but that was where the space was opening up. In fact, because of Monterey Bay's pressure and trying to apply it in different places. So Jordan Doherty took advantage of that. Either way, he did get caught out, and that's unfortunate too, because the space that was opened up was where he would usually be found. So Tristan Traeger, just as you said, he was able to beat Freddie Kleeman. And then the question that I put on our document here for everyone, you get a little behind the scenes, is that I asked, why did Freddie Kleeman go off? And this was one that I wanted to bring up, Carlos, specifically, just because Usually first half chances, or excuse me, first half substitutions are made because of they're made because a player is injured. And in this case, I didn't see that he was injured. So I'm just making sure for my own benefit, you didn't see him get injured here either. Am I for? Yeah. Okay. So no, this was purely tactical.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the scheme or anything about this lineup was changed. I think Robin Nielsen just didn't like what he was seeing.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty clear and evident based on, you know, the attitude that we saw Kleeman coming off with. Like he obviously wasn't happy, understandably so. He had subbed off in the 35th minute. Robbie Nielsen didn't like what he was seeing, and he brought in Blake Bodley, and that was that.
Yeah.
We adjusted accordingly. Kleeman is a very good defender, and he has so much like potential to still get better. He's still a really young guy, by the way. I think we kind of get deceived by how large of a man he is.
Right.
He's still in his very early 20s. Has a potential to like still continue to grow in terms of his talent and skill level. But it's been a couple pretty shaky games from him. That Charleston game, like I know I wasn't here to talk about that game last week, which by the way was a lot more fun to talk about than this one, I'm sure. But like I think mistakes that someone like him might have made in that game were overshadowed by an incredible comeback, a great performance everywhere else. And he had some really shaky moments in that game that didn't end up in the goal for Charleston because for whatever reason they hit the post like multiple times. At least one of those, I can attribute some of that to him. He's had some shaky moments in the last couple of weeks in some of these games throughout the year. And for whatever reason, I don't know why this game in particular was the game where Robbie Nielsen decided to put down his foot and be like, okay, like me personally as a coach, I'm not liking what I'm seeing. I'm going to make this change. And not the other games where like something like that's happened. Not that he's had, you know, terrible performances left and right or whatever, but it just didn't seem like this game in particular was like the outstanding bad performance. Right. But for whatever reason, he decided this was time. I think it was pretty clear that he could have defended that goal that Monterey Bay scored much better. There's really no need to go diving into that tackle. You stay on your feet.
That is fair.
Yeah, you stay on your feet a couple more seconds, and that gives your other defenders a chance to get back, another midfielder as well. I don't think Jordan Doherty was back there yet. But the two Rowdies players that were back there gives them a chance to establish themselves. Phil Brana doesn't have to come out of the goal, and you're talking about an entirely different chance.
Yes.
There's no open players. Traeger has a lot more work to do. Even if Frank Lehman's just kind of standing there really tired, which I understand because he had to run really, really quickly, really far back. And as we know, it's not really a skill set to be like the speediest player on the team. Just standing there staying on his feet would have done a world of difference in this particular play. And it would have entirely changed the play and the chance for Monterey Bay. There would have been like, there's still a chance there. It's a counterattack, but instead of basically 3-on-2 without a goalie, it would be a 3-on-3 chance. Phil Brana still in goal. Much harder chance to put away for Monterey Bay.
Yes.
And for a team that has scored less goals than games they've played, two of those were against the Rowdies. The odds of that going in, much lower. It's not a particularly strong offensive team. They're struggling to put goals away in general. On top of that, the new coach, not even the new coach, the interim coach, who's a former player, like they're really figuring their stuff out. So it's really frustrating to let in a goal like this when we kind of just fall asleep. It's not all Freddie Kleeman's fault. Like there was a ton of players that were really far up, maybe shouldn't have been that far upfield. But I think it's just easier, and we kind of fall into putting the blame on the clear mistake, which was evident because he flew like 20 yards by Tristan Traeger. So that's unfortunate. Did it help us, James? Is another thing you threw here in our notes. Maybe. I mean, we didn't let in another goal until that silly goal at the end.
Yeah.
And you brought on Blake Bodley, who I think is a more naturally attacking threat than Eddie Manjoma, who was playing where Blake Bodley has been starting, right?
Yeah.
So... maybe. I think it's hard to quantify, but yeah, I would say slightly. We still didn't create like a ton in that first half, by the way. After Monterey Bay scored, there wasn't a ton going for us. We had the ball, we had chances, but nothing, you know, of high XG per se, right?
Yeah.
Second half, we changed it a little bit. We can talk about the second half here in just a second, but just to wrap up the thoughts here on the first half, an interesting sub in the 35th minute. Certainly not one I would have expected. Maybe at halftime, and even then, maybe. I just haven't really seen, not that Robbie Nielsen's been here forever, but he's been here for a pretty significant amount of games at this point. It's not really something I've seen him do this year, is pull off a player that early.
Yeah.
We can't know for sure, but by the looks of it, because of a performance and like he's not liking how things are looking from this player, taking him out in the first half like that really was interesting. For sure.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't missed anything there, but with Freddie Kleeman having gone off, it definitely was not totally his fault. Just the way that you had mentioned, but at the same time, it was probably the more glaring of the issues that appeared when that goal ultimately went in. Very unfortunate for Phil Breno. This is his first start. There's nothing he can do in that scenario. I really don't think that he's to blame at all there. But yeah, it is unfortunate. And with that being said, I do think it helped us just because Blake Bodley comes on and he is allowed to play his most natural position, which is an attacking fullback or wingback. And then Eddie Munjoma also moves to the back line. He is playing Carlos, he's playing like where you mentioned he wasn't totally on the back line. He could be a kind of a fullback depending on the situation, but he was more, I think, where Jordan Doherty was when the game had started. So, it ultimately led to a better second half. And even Robbie Nielsen had said that in the post game. Just remember that he said that the second half, in his opinion, was crisper. And I do think that it not only was crisper, but obviously we scored the two goals that showed that we were making better progress there. And I think at least scoring the two goals, I think the best chance we had in that first half was probably Jordan Doherty's kind of out of nowhere off the crossbar. So the second half though, I do think that was better. Cal Jennings' goal, also a very nice assist from Danny Crisostomo.
Oh my God, what a pass. Yeah, what a pass. Crisostomo, I mean, this is a player that's had a great, you know, form all year at this point. But man, like, I think it's easier to notice how good of a game, how good of a season he's having when he pulls off a pass like that, right? James, you and I mentioned this, but I think you mentioned this before we started recording. He's having a Lewis Hilton type of lack of recognition.
Yeah.
Underrated, under the radar, despite how good of a season he's having.
Under the radar is exactly it. It's
exactly this is whatever the opposite of under the radar is, over the radar, on the radar, I don't know. Because he can't be on the, let's say on the radar. This was an on the radar pass. It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Kyle Jennings had a couple of looks throughout the game. Nothing like particularly dangerous though. I mean, he had that kind of free look in the first half. I don't know if you recall that. I would argue that might be our best chance of the half in that first half. Ball from Monterey Bay bounces by one of the defenders, just bounces over him. Kyle Jennings bodies off another defender.
That's right. Yeah.
Kyle Jennings is open one-on-one on goal, bouncing ball, has to do sort of half volley situation with his left foot. Skies high, way over into the Monterey Bay mountains.
Yeah, right.
I think that might have been, from my perspective, the best chance of the first half in a really, really, really high value opportunity. Not an easy finish by any means still. Like, still has to do kind of like half volley, left foot. But certainly an opportunity I would have expected Cal to put away. This one he puts away marvelously. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful finish.
Yeah.
Right over the Monterey Bay goalie, slotting it into the corner. Lovely stuff. And yeah, like you said, second half went much better. This was obviously indicative of that when you score a goal. But I think the team was just clicking much more. And I think this is a pretty clear example of that.
Yep. I definitely think that they were clicking a lot more. After that first goal, we ultimately get to see Damian Rivera and Nate Worth come onto the field. Stop me if you've heard that one before.
Leo.
And exactly. The other person that I wanted to mention, this is the three-person sub that we saw 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I don't remember offhand, but it was Damian Rivera, maybe it wasn't Nate Worth in this three-person sub. Whenever it was right around the same time too. So this is something that Robbie Nielsen, I think, is like using actually is a roughly 75th minute substitution, three players. He's going to bring in Damian Rivera, and he has frequently come on for Cal Jennings. Leo Fernandez, now he's back and able to play in this role at least. He's come on for Josh Perez, I think, both of those times. Now, the other one in this game was a little interesting, Nate Worth for Lewis Hilton. That's not usually one that we see, but I guess that they felt that they were able to press more or get higher because you don't need the defensive presence of Lewis Hilton in the game against Monterey Bay. So fair enough. They bring those three on. I think that Leo Fernandez not only shows his ability when he wins a penalty, because honestly, that was just a weird decision from the Monterey Bay defender, but stupid. Yeah, I don't get it. But he also showed his worth as an experienced player, a captain like figure, because he obviously has been the captain of the Rowdies. He showed that he knows how to calm a team down, but also lift their spirits and get them motivated to go and try to win the game. So seeing Leo Fernandez come back and make more appearances is obviously extremely positive as we get into real crunch time for this season. And this three-person substitution, kind of like a line change, it's very interesting that this is something that Robbie Nielsen has now done twice within at least 3 weeks, if not 2 weeks. So I like all of that. And ultimately, we do get a little bit of just dessert with the goal. But Carlos, I think that we've been talking about this game a lot, and we haven't gotten to the real big thing that took off online. And I don't know how much time you want to spend on it, so I'm just going to go there now. The last thing that we need to talk about, the last thing that everybody wants us to talk about, because this was probably the biggest thing, was the goal that Monterey Bay scored in stoppage time in the second half. Unfortunately, it came off of what I would say is probably the incorrect call from the referee. And it was definitely a moment where the Rowdies took their foot off the gas because they thought that the ball was theirs and they kind of fell asleep for a moment. And how much can you blame a team for falling asleep when the ball was supposed to be theirs? Inside, but I guess you also, this is also a moment, unfortunately, that lost us, not lost us the game, but lost us 3 points anyway. So yeah, let's get into this one.
Man, I don't want to. I like this podcast because you and I are just fans. Like, you know, we're just ranting. And that's what I'm going to do about this thing. I have no, this, there's no sense of journalism here. Like, this was stupid.
This is straight from the hip, folks.
This was stupid. This was insane. This was one of the dumber calls I've seen. And there's a pretty high bar in terms of bad calls, as we've seen in the past several years of Rowdy soccer. Shout out to Bill Edwards' refereeing mixtape. I will never forget that. It's to this day one of my favorite moments in Rowdy soccer history. When he just attacked the NASL, just why not? Because he's a dog and he can just do it. All right. This would be on that mixtape. This would be on Bill Edwards's mixtape, is the way I'll put this. Referees pointing, throwing for the Rowdies. At no point did they indicate, like with their hands or anything, that it was a throw-in for Monterey Bay. Like, they didn't even switch the call, you know? Like,
yeah,
the center referee's hand is still up, pointing left. I'm looking at it now, pointing left to the Rowdies. At no point does he switch it. Like, he switches. Okay, here it is. He puts his hand out facing like the Rowdies' goal when the ball is already being the ball's thrown in. The ball is like basically on the floor at this point, and he just puts his hand out to indicate a Monterey Bay throw in, which looks to me the incorrect call. First of all, second of all, like, making that call while they're throwing, like as the ball is already thrown in, switching the call when the entire Rowdies team has fallen asleep because your referee and everybody's pointed towards the Monterey Bay goal to indicate a Rowdies throw in. I don't know how that's allowed.
Yeah, it's
There's no reason why, even if it was the Monterey Bay ball, even if it went out on a Rowdies player, which maybe to be fair, it's hard to see from here, from this angle. Certainly the referee has a better view at it, of course. Like, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it was out on a Rowdies player based on what I saw, but if it was, and let's say it was, you can't switch up that call while Monterey Bay is throwing in the ball. The ball's already in the air. And the ball's in the air, and you've done nothing to indicate that it's a Rowdy's throwing. Or that's not a Rowdy's throwing. That's insane. It's one of the weirder things I've ever seen in a soccer game. And again, there's a pretty high bar for weird things I've seen at Rowdy's games.
Yes.
Very high bar. I mean, good Lord. But man, there's something about these like small like West Coast stadiums that like are off-putting to us. I don't know what it is. Like these weird West Coast, like Cali stadiums. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Orange County, Monterey Bay. But when we go play a big team, you put us in a big stadium out West, Sacramento. Yeah. We put in the best performance of the year. But there's something weird about these small stadiums in the West Coast. Like, I don't know what it is. The vibe. So apart from this call, the vibe of this game felt for a long time very much like that Oakland Roots game.
Yes, it did.
From several weeks ago, if that makes any sense. Apart from like the game on the field and performance on the field, the vibes from the crowd, the vibes from like the West Coast stuff, it felt very much like an Oakland, the Oakland Roots game. And it was weird. And of course, we had to save the weirdest part for the end when we were actually playing somewhat well. Like we were putting in a good performance. I think the worst part of this is that Monterey Bay was certainly not like pressing in a way that indicated they should have equalized. It was just a really stupid goal. So that's that. Because of that, again, the teams ahead of us did win their games. And believe it or not, a small, you know, somewhat insignificant looking call at first and a random Rowdy's game away at Monterey Bay has serious effects in terms of how the table looks. And that sucks because we were on pace with Charleston. We're on pace with Louisville. And even if you can say like maybe we didn't fully deserve this win, we didn't play the best game we've ever played, which obviously I would agree with. We certainly didn't deserve the game to end the way it did that way. And because of that, lose the ground we've made up by beating Louisville, right? By beating Charleston. Yeah, no. And I think we're going to look back at the end of the year, look at games like this and the other random games against teams maybe we should have beat. But yeah, whatever. I'm going to keep going on about this forever if I don't stop. We have another game to talk about, James. This podcast might go on for a long time if I keep talking.
Yeah, I think that you covered most of my thoughts pretty well the same. And I think that anything that led up to that goal is where I kind of tend to lean on this one. I think that the referee did make a mistake, but ultimately it does come down to the Rowdies having played probably a lesser game than they should have against the team that we really should have beat. So I will just put that out there as well. It's extremely frustrating, but maybe the whole game was pretty frustrating leading into that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do our man of the match. Carlos, who was it for you?
Crisóstomo. Fantastic performance. Great performance from him. Again, I want to give him a shout out because he doesn't get recognized as much as he should. Incredible pass. Incredible game. Absolute dog of a player in the midfield. And yeah, fantastic player. I'm going to keep it short. Great, great performance. My man of the match.
All right. Well, there you go. My man of the match is Aaron Guillen. I was actually leaning towards either him or Jordan Doherty, and Jordan Doherty looked pretty good when he had that chance that we have talked about several times. But I did not give it to Jordan Doherty because he was out of position on two key moments. Those were the key moments. Or, well, he was out of position on the first key moment, and then, unfortunately, the second goal also came down his side. But I do want to highlight a couple of quick stats for Jordan Doherty, or excuse me, Aaron Guillen, the person that I actually chose for man of the match. One cleared off the line, pretty good there. Two blocks, pretty good there. Two headed clearances, four clearances overall, very good. This is the real stat for me. Almost double digits, nine recoveries in this past game against Monterey Bay. So all of that is why I chose Aaron Guillen. I think that he and Jordan Doherty are quickly showing themselves to be some of the most important defenders in this league. And a lot of what we do not only is based on their defensive ability, but also their ability to help out in the attack. So they are other underrated players, not as criminally underrated as probably Lewis Hilton and Danny Crisóstomo, because their things don't frequently show up on stats. But either way, didn't want to highlight all of that and bring up Aaron Guillen for this one. So now, with all of that out of the way, we need to get into our preview. Before we get into our preview, we need to do our interview. Before we get into our interview, folks, I have one other thing to tell you. It is the Best of the Bay. We are proud to be nominated for the third year in a row for Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay, specifically in the podcast section. Obviously, we are a podcast. I think you guys know that by now. We need you to help us out, though, and win Best Podcast. There is a link in the description, or you can check out the pinned tweet at RBLR Sports on Twitter. Anywhere you can help us out, we do appreciate it. We are literally posting about it pretty much every day, so check it out wherever you can. Because we need everyone to vote online daily, please go check it out. It is Creative Loafing. You can create an account with them very quickly, and then you can vote, as we said, every day. If you can get us there, we would be super appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us that one more little bit by voting for us online. And we will see you, hopefully, as the Best Podcast of the Bay in 2024 later Amen. On this month. Amen. Now, with all of that out of the way, we can actually move on. Let's get into our interview with Christian Ortiz of the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
The big dog.
All right, everyone. And here we are with that interview that we were just talking about. We are here talking with a Tampa Bay Rowdy. It is Christian Ortiz, one of the youngest members of the team and one of the newest signings as well. So, Christian, how are you doing in this very hot month of August where you spent, I guess you were in Mexico in July, but either way, how are you doing now?
Everything's good now. Yeah, I'm glad to be home.
Yeah, I can imagine it was it's always good to get back home after a trip, regardless of what it was. But so we wanted to have you on this week to talk about not only your time with the Rowdies, but most specifically because it was just going on, but the CONCACAF Under 20 Championship, where the Dominican Republic took part, and you were a member of the Dominican Republic team there. So I wanted to discuss that with you. I am super into international soccer, as I'm sure everyone listening knows, but I wanted to talk with you about that because I'm sure it was a very cool experience. Before we get into that, though, let's get a little bit of background about you, and I'll just ask you if you could, for anyone who doesn't know generally what your background is. I believe you were born in New York and then came down here. Could you go through that for all of our listeners?
Yeah, of course. I was born in Westchester County, New York, and then I moved down to Florida, Spring Hill, Florida, and when I was about 7 years old. And then after that, I kind of just found Florida Premier, and I started playing there.
And Florida Premier, if I'm not mistaken, that is where Andres Arango is coaching right now, because we had an interview with him last season or two seasons ago, whenever it was, about his coaching there.
Yeah, and Georgie. We all, yeah.
Yeah.
The big Rowdies family.
Good Rowdies contingent over there, for sure. For sure. Christian, I know, like you said, you were playing Florida Premier, made your way to the Rowdies eventually. I know we talked about this actually at one of your trainings. It's been a little bit. We talked briefly about what that's been like, making that transition to the pro world. Can you just, like, I think there's a lot of people that might not really grasp how big of a deal that is, right? I mean, you go from the academy, you know, training with the team to fully signing a professional contract after being an academy contract kid.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just, you know, the new kid on the block, not just kind of like, me and James, I like to jokingly refer as to the academy contracts as the interns at the team.
Right.
no longer an intern, but a full-time guy, contributor to the team, truly like a member of this squad. What's that transition been like? I know that's got to be kind of a good challenge, but tell me a little bit about how exciting or, you know, challenging, nerve-wracking, whatever the emotions that go with that have been.
No, it's honestly, at first it was a little bit, you know, I was nervous, but I think that as time went on, and I say even a couple of days after I signed it, it's the same as an academy contract. Now I just, you know, I'm an actual pro now, and I have to take responsibility and pride in everything I do on and off the pitch. So I think that it definitely is, it's a little bit different, but it's the same mindset, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I know that's been, I mean, now we can't say you're the only young kid on the team that's fully there now. I mean, yeah. Nate Worth, Nate Worth seemed to announce himself to the world. What was it last week?
Yeah,
against Charleston. I kept seeing that clip on like random Instagram reels and stuff. Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah, he was doing numbers there. Tell me a little bit about what working with him has been like, because that must be kind of fun, right? Having another guy your age, another pro full-time guy, come in kind of for me seemingly. And I know James and I talked about this when we made that signing, kind of out of nowhere. How did that happen? Or maybe don't tell us about exactly how that happened. I know, Jake, you know, we can't reveal everything. But tell me about how it's been working with him on the team.
No, it's honestly been amazing. I love having him at trainings, and me and him have definitely grown a nice little friendship. We hang out all the time outside of training. Away trips, we're roommates, so it's fun. We definitely have a lot of things in common. We're a pretty good friend.
That's awesome.
Awesome. I like to hear that. That is kind of like a good sign of bonding for people, obviously. Yeah. Like Carlos said, just perfect age group on the team to do that. Yeah,
we're both 07s, so it fits perfectly.
Oh, wow. Crazy. Okay.
Name, you feel old.
Yeah, I was going to try to avoid that, but we'll leave it there for the time
I'll
being.
I'll speak
but,
the elephant in the room. I'll put it out into the world.
Yeah.
James, I won't take any of the U20 CONCACAF questions, because I know you're kind of a nerd for the world of CONCACAF soccer and the world outside of the Rowdies. I won't save any of that. But I do, Christian, personally, I love hearing about kind of the relationship you and Nate have. I think we've talked about this a lot, about kind of this new era of the Rowdies, like truly giving the young kids a ton of opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, not really looking at you or Nate as like the young kids, but truly like serious contributors on this team. On a personal level, I think it's really fun to hear about not only how well you guys are doing on the team, but like how well the relationship looks off the field as well. So I think I speak for everyone when I can say it. I appreciate that insight for sure.
Yeah, of course.
Well, so now that the CONCACAF Under 20 Championship is over, we won't talk about the final game. Personally, I will avoid that one. But at the moment, I wanted to get into the discussion with you about the Dominican Republic. Now, as you said, you were born in New York. So I'm assuming that you were eligible through your parents or somewhere familially and then got in touch with the Federation, or maybe they got in touch with you. How did that process go down that you ended up representing them here?
Well, first, I want to say it was an honor to represent them. Obviously, it's an amazing feeling to represent my country and my father's country. That's how I have citizenship for them now. He was born in Dominican Republic, and then he moved over when he was 8 to the United States in New York. But yeah, I first, it was a couple months ago when the head coach contacted me and my father. And then after that, we started the process of getting my passport and my cellular, everything got processed a couple weeks before the tournament. So that's pretty much it. It was a couple months before the tournament started, though, everything got in contact.
Gotcha. Okay. Were you too familiar with any of the players on the team? I don't know if you had known any of them before. No. Okay. Gotcha. So this was meeting them all for the first time.
Yeah. I knew some of the players, like, Israel Bowright, he plays for Inter Miami. Lucas Breton, he plays at Cebao, Dominican Republic, a team in Dominican Republic. There's some very good quality players on that team.
Yeah, I actually remember from the CONCACAF U20 Championship 2 years ago, whenever it was, that the Dominican Republic made it to the final.
Yeah.
They lost to the U.S. there, but I know Jordi Alvarez, I think, was on that team as well. Yeah. And he was playing alongside Angel Montes de Oca, who then played for the Olympic team for the Dominican Republic. So it was all very cool to see that even some of those players have returned. And it just seems at the same time, like there's been a bit of an uptick, at least as far as I can see, in the talent that's coming out of the Dominican.
Yeah, there is. It's a lot of proper footballers coming out of there. There's a lot of quality. There's a lot of quality coming out of there, yeah.
And do you speak Spanish fully?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Manuel Arteaga, he's helping me a lot, but
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm also in the process of learning Spanish, and I'm using RBLR Cortez to help myself there. But
James, let's give everybody some practice. Let's just do Spanish for the rest of this interview. How about that?
I'm not prepared for that one. But Christian, the next question I had for you, I don't want to go into detail about every game here because that would be a pretty exhaustive interview. But I did want to ask you about one game specifically because it seemed to me like it was the game that you guys had possibly the best chance of winning. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But it was also the craziest game for me because of the conditions. So the first one you played against El Salvador, it was a 1-0 loss. I don't have stats or anything, but it seemed like you guys were creating chances just over and over and over. And it was in anyone listening, you're not going to believe how ridiculous it was. It was a torrential downpour of rain, puddles on the field that were preventing you guys from playing. Can you walk me through? Please walk me through how that game went for you guys and also just your perspective afterwards, because it almost seemed to me like that one shouldn't have been played.
Yeah, it was the first half. The first half was fine. We created so many chances. You know, we just couldn't capitalize on it, and that's fine. You know, that's how football is. And then second half, the rain started to pour down really, really hard. And then all you know, the next couple minutes into the second half is just puddles everywhere. People starting to try and dribble and then getting stuck and then counterattacks happening and then they get stuck and then it keeps going back and forth. But yeah, it was a pretty hectic game.
Yeah, I felt for you guys out there. I was definitely rooting for you to pull that one out, but it's also difficult when you're playing in such crazy conditions. Like I said, I don't know that that game should have gone ahead, but it seems to me if that were, I guess that one was in Mexico, obviously, where the tournament was held, but if that was in Florida or something, we definitely would have had lightning and the game would have been shut down.
Yeah,
it's too bad ultimately in the end. But now that the tournament is over and the Dominican Republic did not get probably as far as you guys would have liked, what are your takeaways from this tournament going forward for representing your country and moving along, hopefully in the higher age levels? Well, I guess you're still U20 eligible even for the next round.
Yeah. So next round, we already talked about. I was the only 07 on the team, so I technically would be the only one eligible for the next U20 CONCACAF Championship. But I think that I need to be a little bit more prepared. I wasn't as prepared as I thought it was going to be in Mexico. The conditions and everything, everything was just a lot different. You know, it's way different than playing here in the States, especially with the rowdies, and then going to the U20 Dominican team. But I'm really excited for what's to come in that aspect of my career with the national team. I would love to play for the U23s in the next Olympics, maybe, or whatever next tournament might come up.
I mean that would be awesome, and I know that the Dominican is also trying to recruit a couple of dual nationals that they had called up for the Olympics, and for this reason or that they weren't there, but it was still a very good showing from them. So as I said, whenever it was, I think that the Dominican Republic at this point is just improving leaps and bounds in terms of soccer. I know it's mostly a baseball country, but they are really coming along very quickly in soccer.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Christian, that's got to be insanely validating. I know we've talked a lot about, like, you know, the tournament itself, but I just want to ask you about how you were feeling when you got that call, by the way, from the U20 coach, when you first even heard notice that this might be a possibility. That's got to be pretty validating, putting in all that work. I mean, you got your professional contract very recently, obviously, with the Rowdies, and then you get this call up from the U20 Dominican Republic team. Tell me, like, how was that? How was that conversation? How did you react? How did your family react? I mean, just some of the emotions behind that, some of the human side. How was that like?
Yeah, it was good. I was at Publix, actually. and then he called, and then my dad and I talked to him a little bit, and then it was nice. It was a good feeling knowing that my country wanted me to play for them. And then when the list came out, it was right after training, and then everyone like congratulated me. So it was good. Awesome. It was really nice.
That's really awesome. Yeah, I know. Obviously, James and I and all the Rowdies fans, everybody that keeps up with this team, loves seeing our players go out and represent their countries, wherever that is, whatever level. I know everybody's really excited. I'm sure you saw the traction that tweet got when the Rowdies put out that you were representing your team. I know everybody was excited about that. That's really, really cool stuff. I mean, that's really cool. Like James said, I think it's really fun to know that a country like Dominican Republic is making, like you said, making like serious leaps and bounds in the world of soccer. And I think it's really cool that you can get to be a part of that. And by the way, I don't think we've mentioned this. You mentioned that you were the only 07 on the team. Just to reiterate that, you were the baby on the team, right? You were the youngest kid on the team. Like, that's impressive stuff. And I think it's really cool to see that, you know, get to represent the Rowdies a little bit on the international stage. It's fun stuff on a personal level. Yeah. James, do you want to ask anything else about the U20 stuff before we move on and talk a little bit about the rest of the year with the Rowdies now that we're back home and, you know, in the midst of the whole season?
Well, I could go on and on, but I don't want to keep Christian until, what, 9, 10 at night? So I'll turn it over to you, Carlos. We'll get back to the Rowdies this season.
Cool. Yeah, like you said, I'd love to talk about this forever too. But Christian, okay, tough result this weekend. Was back and forth. I mean, we can talk about that game forever and maybe what did or did not happen towards the end of that game. But looking ahead, we're a little over halfway through the year, right? There's still plenty of soccer to be played. We're right on the tail of the teams ahead of us in the Eastern Conference. How do you feel about where the team is as a whole? And then let's talk about where you feel you are in terms of how much you've grown this year. So let's start with the team as a whole. Where do you feel like the team is right now? Are you happy with where we're at? Do you think we should be a little bit further ahead? Or how are you feeling?
Well, I think that the team, as a team at training and at games, prior to the games, everything, I think we're one of the best teams in the league, 100%. I think that sometimes we get unfortunate with the results, but no matter what, I think we fight until that final whistle. And I think that we definitely have unfinished business for the rest of the season. So I'm really excited for what's to come.
That's great. That's great. And then looking ahead rest of the year, you've had some serious minutes on the team already. I'm sure there's more in store for you, more opportunities, more chances for that goal. Where do you feel like you are on the team right now? Do you feel happy with how much progression you made? Obviously, you made that, you know, jump to the pro world. Where do you feel like you've grown? And looking ahead, where do you feel like there's space to grow still?
No, I feel like I have grown a lot since I even started, like, with my academy contract or last year when I trained with them. I think that everything's working out the way it's supposed to, and I definitely have room to grow, but without a doubt, it will grow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, like we said, plenty of soccer left to play the second half of the season. Are there any games you have marked on the schedule, games you're really particularly excited about, games that you've been waiting to play all year? What are some matches you're looking ahead to that you're like, man, this is one that's going to be a barn burner?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to – I want to play Louisville away. That's definitely going to be an exciting one. And I want to play – I don't know about for the rest of the season, but playoffs. I'm really excited for playoff season.
Nice. Yeah, I think we all are. We're always excited for playoff season. The chance to win hardware, James, I know you and I are always excited about that. Okay. James, anything else you want to throw in here before we start to wrap up and not take up too much of Christian Ortiz's time before another big game this weekend at a team we've come to know pretty well, Phoenix Rising?
Yeah. No, I won't take up too much of your time. The only thing I'll say is, Christian, the next time the Dominican U20s have a penalty, maybe they should let you take it. Just throw that out there. Not throwing any shade, but I'll just put that out there. Maybe your striker taking a penalty makes sense. The only other thing I'll say is if any of the Dominican players are, you know, looking to jump to the next level, put them in touch with Robbie Nielsen. I think that'd be cool. We get some more hookup there, and we get some players coming over and playing at Tampa Bay.
Of course, I definitely will let them know.
Yeah, a little pipeline. That'd be exciting. Okay, last question. I like to throw in a random question here before we wrap things up. Who has the worst music taste on the team? This is important.
I probably have to say Nate.
Nate's pretty bad. Ooh, okay.
throwing shade at his best friend on the team. Maybe I'm putting words. Maybe putting words in your mouth. Your best friend, at your coworker.
Let's say. At your coworker, yeah.
That's messed up. I'm gonna let Nate know you said that. That's crazy. Okay, Christian. I know it's been a pleasure for me to talk to you. I know we got the chance to talk a few times since you've been on the Rowdies, and truly, it's been great getting to know you a bit, getting to have you on this team, and having that youth influence is really, really great stuff on this team. So
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for coming on RBLR Sports. We always love when we can talk to players at any point in their career, and you were just getting started. So I hope that we can do more of these interviews.
Of course. Big things coming.
Thank you.
And everyone, that was our interview with Christian Ortiz, a fantastic young talent for the Tampa Bay Rowdies and obviously for the Dominican Republic. Very exciting stuff for him.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out La República Dominicana. We're out there. Not we. I don't know why I said we, but you get my point.
Maybe we'll get there someday.
Look, shout out to that country and the soccer they've been putting out recently. You know, we talked about an interview. There's big things coming for soccer in the Dominican Republic. Like you said in the interview, baseball mainly number one, but man, soccer is making leaps and bounds, leaps and strides. I don't know, whatever. You get my point. And Christian Ortiz is a part of that. And that's really, really cool to see as a Rowdies fan, James.
Absolutely. All right. Well, now that that is done, we need to do our preview for a game this weekend. It's going to be very important, just as the last one was, because we need to make up the space that we just lost, Carlos, by drawing against Monterey Bay. So let's get into the Phoenix Rising preview.
Yeah. James, this is a big one. The Rowdies have a late, late game this Saturday at 11 p.m. While you're out at the clubs in Ybor or whatever the hell you're doing on Saturday night, you got to pull up the game. And I know it's going to be weird when you're at the bar and like you pull up the game on your phone. And everybody's like, why are you watching a game on your phone? You can tell them it's the Rowdies and they'll understand.
They will understand.
We're playing Phoenix Rising in a big game in the lovely state of Arizona. They're in 10th place in the West, James. Not where Phoenix Rising has been in the last several years. Certainly have their ups and downs, but this is not their best year, to put it lightly. The recent form is very, very poor. They have one win in their last five games, three losses, and one draw in that with a pretty mediocre Hartford team who is in second to last in the East. So that's their draw. They beat El Paso Locomotive, who is last place in the West. So those are their two non-losses in their last five games. Randomly tied against Charleston before that, tied against El Paso. Certainly a team that's not in great form. That's the way I'll put it. And the coach, by the way, was let go only two games ago. There's lots of familiar faces that we've seen in net, by the way. Rocco Rios Novos is back in there, fantastic goalkeeper. At the back, you still have Alejandro Fuenmayor, Papi Marboye, and none other than Lawrence Wyke. You might remember that guy. In front, we could see another guy you might remember from like 3 weeks ago, Charlie Dennis. John Sears, how do you say that name, James? I'm gonna butcher that.
I think it's Sears. But I'm not sure.
Sears? Renzo Zambrano and Fede Varela in a 3-4-3. We should expect Juan Socar up front with Tomas. Oh my goodness. Tomas Angel, who recently joined this team on loan. The other winger has changed in the last two games. It's a team that's had a little bit of rotation here. By the way, it seems like they're selling like everybody. So I'm surprised they have a team like at this point. Constantly getting rid of players. I know it's really, really frustrating for the Phoenix Rising fans I see on Twitter. It's a team.
A real revolving door.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. So hopefully Charlie Dennis and you know, Lawrence Wyke, the former Rowdies, have a little bit of stability over there and what seems to be a constantly shaken up team in the last couple of years. Loney Remy Cabral leads their goal scoring with six goals, while Darius Formella has four. Gabriel Torres and Renzo Zambrano lead in assists and chances created. They've conceded five penalties, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's probably more than most of the other teams have conceded. Keep an eye on that. You know, we just conceded one, or we just earned one last game. We like to get in the box. We like to cause chaos back there. Look for something like that to happen. The team is ripe for the picking. But as we've said, when it comes to teams that we should beat, James, it never really seems to go as easy as we thought. But I'll tell you what, this Phoenix Rising team is a team that has a big enough brand, I'm hoping, has enough fans, I'm hoping, to maybe push the Rowdies into thinking, tricking themselves into thinking it's a much better team than they are.
There we go. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure if, like, Louisville was having a bad year, we would still go in there and play as if we were playing against Louisville.
Yeah, right.
If that makes any sense. I think Phoenix has that potential. Phoenix had last time we were in Phoenix, by the way, we had a big win, 5-1, and what felt like a big, big marquee kind of turnaround win that 2022 season. You might recall that one. Jake LaCoffa was the man of the match in that one, according to Fop Mob. Hope he's doing well. Deion Harris, Jake Armin, oh, some great players in there. Two own goals for Phoenix Rising, by the way, in that one. Okay. Long story short, this team is not great right now. It's still a pretty big team. Like, I'm hoping that means we go in there and play as if we were playing against a really good team, because that's when we seem to play our best. I think there's a potential for a bit of a blowout in this one if we play a game. I know this team's going to be frustrated after the way this Monterey Bay game ended. And with the talent we have, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of the anger that's going to be put into practice this week. At least I'm hoping that's what it looks like. So all that being said, I feel pretty good about this. We're going to have to go back out to the West Coast. West Coast. Oh, my goodness. Which seems to be challenging for us sometimes. But we haven't had a problem winning in Phoenix, apparently. If you look back a couple years ago, like I said, we won 5-1. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Actually, I will. If you use the Hard Rock Sports betting app and you're a Rowdies fan, you shouldn't bet on your own team because it's bad luck. But if I didn't care about the Rowdies and I was a betting man, I'd bet on the Rowdies in this one. That's the way I'll put it. Long-winded way of saying, I feel good about this. We should come out with a win, James.
Yep, I agree with this. Just so everyone is aware, because the recent manager was let go, I believe that was Danny Stone, their interim head coach right now is Diego Gomez, who is was one of their assistants and has previously been involved in other USL teams. But Darnell King is still one of the assistant coaches. They have not gotten rid of him for whatever that is worth. So I don't know that there's a lot of tactics to talk about with this team, because they do currently have an interim coach who's only been in charge for two games. There is all this chopping and changing going on at all times with Phoenix this year. It's very difficult to predict exactly what we should expect out of this team, other than maybe a team that's just not doing so well, just as Carlos had already mentioned. So there really shouldn't be a ton more to go over. Tomas Angel is on loan from LAFC in MLS. He's a good young striker. He's actually the son of Juan Pablo Angel, if anybody remembers him from his Aston Villa days.
You got a lot of potential, this guy, by the way. Former Atlético Nacional player, came out of the really great academy in Colombia. I mean, this guy's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, so that would be the only thing to keep in mind, is possibly he could spring a surprise, because he does have a lot of talent and he's only just moved here. Maybe we need to keep a little bit more of an eye peeled upon him. So with all that being said, I think that we can get into our predictions now. Carlos, is there anything else that we need to go over?
No, we're going to win.
There we go. All right. How much are we going to win by?
Because I said that, we're going to lose, but we're going to win still. I have a good vibe about this one. Again, we're coming off of a frustrating result. We're going to put in a good week of practice. We're going to bounce back. Or we won't, and we're going to fall into kind of a ugly stretch, is my prediction. But I think we're going to come out with a good win. We're going to win 3-0. It's going to be a bit of a blowout. It's going to be 2-0. It'll be pretty comfortable 2-0 lead, and then we'll score in like the 87th, 88th minute.
Okay.
While Phoenix is pushing, it'll be a Damian Rivera goal to score the third goal. I won't predict the first two, but Damian Rivera goal will almost certainly be a third goal. That's like very Damian Rivera-esque, and I'm kind of envisioning that. 3-0 Rowdies. This is a really big game to win, James. If we lose this, if we tie, I'm worried about kind of like the lack of momentum we'll have. Two West Coast games, two games that we should win. We really need to pick up 3 points on this one to keep the momentum, to stay in the race for that first place spot, which seems to be a little bit out of reach at this point. There's still games to be played, and in this two-game road trip over there in West Coast, we definitely need to pick this one up.
Yes, I agree with that. Similarly, I have said that we are going to get a 3-1 win. And I will say, similar to what you said, we are up 2-0. They score one in the second half, and they're pushing and pushing to try to get an equalizer. But instead, we score a third goal. And just because I've told him he's going to get his first goal, and because we just got his interview, I am going to say Christian Ortiz gets the third one.
Yes. That's debut goal.
There we go. Eureka, our producer, has also predicted a win 2-0 to the Rowdies. So all of that is good. And I think that we have covered our preview for the Phoenix Rising game. Yeah. All of us want and predict a win. Very good stuff there. Phoenix now on to our extra time segment. Real quickly, the USMNT are out of the Olympics. Unfortunate, but probably predictable. The US women's national team just went through today. That was fantastic. They beat Germany, and they're moving on to the final where they will play Brazil, which is probably an unfancied final pick, but they appear to have quite a bit of momentum. They just beat the champions, world champion Spain. So
we will win.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game, but I do have faith in the U.S. women's national team.
We will win. I was devastated when Colombia lost to Spain after being 2-0, by the way. I am, and I'm sorry to all my Colombian friends and Colombian listeners, I'm probably as big a Colombia men's national team hater as it comes. Like, oh my goodness, they're so annoying. But in terms of the women's national team in Colombia, they are so likable, so much great talent. Like, it's so much fun to watch them play. They're due for a really big performance at a World Cup coming up or something like that. Like that generation that they have is pretty special, and they're going to have great, great performances coming up. That being said, the U.S. women's national team is going to win. That's also my prediction. I don't know if you asked for it. Doesn't matter. I'm putting it out there. We need all the gold medals. USA, baby. We're doing well. We got to keep riding that momentum. Eagle sounds, miles, what's a kilometer, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and I will just follow up Carlos's America F yeah by saying we currently lead the gold medals with 24, 2 ahead of China, bronze medals with 31, 10 ahead of China, or excuse me, silver medals and bronze medals also 31, giving us 86 overall. So we love seeing it.
USA.
These are things we love to see.
Come on.
With our Olympic spot out of the way, we can finally close this podcast out. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We appreciate when you do, even when we veer off into Olympics tangents. But it's all very fun because today, every day, the Olympics has been really, really cool to watch, actually. Yeah. But if you would like to follow us for all of our sports, not just our Olympics coverage, no, we also cover other sports, including the Rowdies, the Tampa Bay Sun, the Rays, the Bucks, the Lightning. Follow us. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere at RBLR Sports, and you can get all of that. Please follow me if you would like to. If you don't, you don't have to, but if you would like to, I'm mostly on Twitter, and I am at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At Carlos TPA 10 on Twitter, James. You just reminded me the Tampa Bay Sun are opening their season this month. We're coming up on it. Listen to our RBLR Sun coverage. Oh my God, I'm so excited. It'll be a good time. Right on the waterfront and the river in downtown Tampa. On the campus of Blake, right by Armature Works. There's some great pregame spots and some great postgame spots. Oh, but it's a Sunday. Oh, that's going to be weird. All right. Long story short, we're going to have a blast at that Sun game. Everybody should be there.
And the Tampa Bay Sun podcast, as part of RBLR Sports, might have a surprise coming up later on this week. I'll just leave it at that. You will have to tune in to find out, though. So please like and subscribe to our podcast where you can get the full experience on YouTube if you'd like. If not, we are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple, and Google Podcasts. So please get us wherever we are or wherever you are. Now, for a Rowdies meh in the books and a win coming up, come on, you Rowdies.
And the Sunnies. Shout out the Sunnies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.